Today we have the story of the raising of Lazarus, but it's much more than the story of the resurrection of a friend of Jesus. It's the story of his two sisters, of Mary and of Martha, two amazingly different individuals, two amazingly different people. Martha, who's the practical one. Martha, who is the one who's interested in taking care of the household. Martha, who's the one who's interested in cooking and cleaning and doing all those things that women in the first century were expected to do, especially in that Jewish culture and that Jewish society. Women were expected to take care of the home, take care of the family, do those practical things that had to be done, not pay too much attention to education, not pay too much attention to spiritual growth, pay attention to the household, to the actual practical needs. That was what Martha expected, and that's what Martha did. It was the expectation of the society, and Martha accepted it as her own. In fact, it was so much a part of herself that when Jesus would be there teaching Lazarus and Mary would sit with Lazarus to learn from Jesus, and Martha would get upset. And one day she went and she said to Jesus, "Make Mary come and help me in the household duties and the household chores. Make her come and help me." And Jesus said to her, "I'm not going to take that away from Mary. She's chosen the better way. And guess what? You can too," is the statement that Jesus made. Jesus supports Mary in running counterculture, in running against the expected norms and the expected expectations of the society for a woman. She is sitting at Jesus' feet learning, and Jesus welcomes her and blesses her desire to learn and to grow spiritually and intellectually along with her brother. They're two completely different women. And so it's interesting to note how Jesus interacts with them when Jesus gets to Bethany. After all, Jesus is late. I mean, he's late, 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 and Lazarus is dead, 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 dead. In fact, he's so dead that as the King James translates it, he stinketh in the tomb. Love that old Middle English way of putting it. He stinketh in the tomb. He's been dead for so long that he's rotting. And so it doesn't do any good. You're late, you're late, you're late. If you had only been here, my brother wouldn't have died. In fact, that's the statement by both sisters. "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died." This is the statement that both of them make. Martha makes it in verse 21. Mary in verse 32. It's a cry. It's said in pain and despair. It's both a reflection of a natural response of sadness and pain at the death of a loved one, and it's a statement of exasperation. "Jesus, if you'd only been here, he wouldn't have died. We know that if you had been here, he would have lived, that he would not have died, that he would not succumb to this illness, that he would have survived. If you'd only been here," it's a statement of faith. "If you'd only been here." But Martha, her statement goes on. Even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. In other words, come on, Jesus. I know that God will give you. God listens to you. You're big with God. So go ahead and ask, and I'm sure that God will give us back Lazarus, my brother. She has practical reasons for this need. I mean, it's not just a spiritual thing. She has practical reasons for this need. She's a woman. In ancient society, where women were property, where women had no right to engage in society without some man to interface for her, she couldn't buy, she couldn't sell, she couldn't own property. Lazarus, her brother, had been taking care of her and her sister. Lazarus, her brother, owned the property and own the house. I can't buy and I can't sell without Lazarus. Her need is practical. Very much in line with her way of thinking. Notice, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." I mean, that's what she's asking for. She wants Lazarus back. You know, come on, Jesus, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, come on. Ask God, and I'm sure he'll give Lazarus back to us. And so Jesus says, "Your brother will rise again." That sounds like good news, doesn't it? Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Well, that's too late, Jesus. Resurrections on the last day are perfectly fine for most people, but I need to write checks and buy food and sell property. I can't do that on my own. I need Lazarus to do it for me. And Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Now keep in mind, this is Martha. This isn't Mary. This is Martha. Martha didn't sit at Jesus' feet and learn. Martha worked. Martha cleaned. Martha cooked. Martha took care of the household. Martha complained that Mary wasn't doing it with her. And yet she knows the message. She knows the proclamation. She's a good Pharisee. She's learned the concept and the idea of the resurrection from the dead. She's expecting it in the last day. And now Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? And she says, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. Yes. I believe it. I believe it. She expresses faith in both instances. See, she expresses faith that Jesus is the Messiah. She expresses faith that had Jesus been there, Lazarus would have lived. And she expresses faith that God will do whatever Jesus asks of God to do. So that's the story with Martha. Very much in character with her. Her practicality, her need to get things done, interfacing through a man, because that's what the society demanded, it makes perfect sense. Jesus, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, go ahead, raise him from the dead. Go ahead, raise him from the dead. Get God to raise him up. God will do whatever you ask. And Jesus says, yes, essentially. Not just in the last day, but today. We're going to come back to that in a moment. What about Mary? Well, Mary's weeping. Mary's in the house weeping. She didn't go out to meet Jesus as Jesus approached. Martha went out. She wanted an answer right then, right now. She didn't want to wait. Mary's inside crying. She's full of emotion. She's hurting. She's in pain. So many tears, she probably can't see very well. In fact, she gets up and to leave to go to Jesus after Martha comes in and tells her that Jesus is asking for her. She gets up to go, and the Jews who were there from Jerusalem, weeping with them and mourning with them over the death of Lazarus, they think she's going to go to the tomb, so they get up and follow her to weep and mourn with her. She goes to Jesus, and she kneels down at Jesus' feet, and she says to Jesus exactly what Martha said. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But she doesn't ask for anything. She doesn't say, ask God to raise him from the dead. She doesn't say anything about what Jesus had taught her. She doesn't express any kind of faith that from the message of eternal life, only that Jesus would have had the power to heal him had he been there. She doesn't say anything else. She doesn't make a request. She doesn't do anything. She weeps. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? Now, he doesn't even say that to Mary. He doesn't say anything to Mary, not really. He asks this of the Jews who are there, and they point the way. Lord, come and see, they say. She doesn't respond. She's weeping. She's crying. She's deep in despair. She's deep in emotional depression. She's deep in that dark pit, that dark night of the soul. She's deep into weeping and mourning. She probably didn't even hear him. They did, and they pointed the way. They said to him, Lord, come and see. And here you have that shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. He cried. This overflowing of emotional anguish, this disturbed in spirit and deeply moved, as verse 33 puts it. This overflow of anguish comes out of him as tears, as mourning, as weeping. He didn't teach her. He didn't preach to her. He didn't say anything to her. He cried with her. He emoted. He sympathized with her grief. And sometimes that's the most profound thing that any of us can do. You know, people expect pastors to have deep words of wisdom in times of grief and pain and loss. And we've got a whole list, a long list, a huge laundry list of platitudes that we can toss out there in times of pain. There have been times when the most important thing I could do, the most meaningful thing I could do as a pastor, the most important thing for me was to sit down with a family that's grieving the death of a loved one, pray with them, and cry with them. I'm reminded of Jason. Jason Pickus was a fabulous young man. He was smart. He was a college graduate. He had studied accounting. He was really brilliant. He had lots of things going for him. He was just moving ahead in this world. He was going to go out and take it by storm. And he developed a tumor at the top of his spinal column and major surgery on his brain, where they literally took his brain apart to remove the tumor and then put it back together, left him paralyzed. Surgery after surgery, month after month, over a long period of time, nothing could be done. He didn't get any better. He lingered on and on and on. And I remember going to the hospital with the family and sitting in the consultation room with the family, with the realization was hitting us that Jason wasn't going to make it. And they all looked at me as if I had some words of wisdom or some words of comfort, and all I had were tears, because I didn't want to see Jason go either. I had tears of mourning with them. Most important thing I did that day for them and for me was to illustrate that it's okay to be hurt. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be in despair and anguish. It's okay to feel these emotions, for they're true and real with us. And Mary did that to the point she couldn't hear anything else. And Jesus, for a time, joined with her in grieving with her. When we are hurting, when we are in pain, when we are struggling with anguish, when we are struggling with the loss of loved ones, when we are struggling with illness, when we're struggling with despair, when we're struggling with depression, my friends, my brothers and sisters, this illustrates to us that Jesus weeps and mourns and struggles and is in anguish with us. When we face pain and heartache and despair, we don't face it alone. Mary and Martha didn't face it alone. They faced it with Jesus. Jesus was there for Mary. So the Jews said, Jesus is weeping. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? There's always a cynic in the crowd. There's always someone who's going to see him crying, going to see us crying, and going to say, oh, you can do more. Well, Jesus can do more and will do far more than just keeping Lazarus from dying. Spiritually, apart from God, we are as dead as Lazarus was. Now, we don't want to hear that. Most of us think we're doing pretty good. Most of us think we're going well, things are going great, we're accomplishing much. We don't want to hear that spiritually we're as dead as Lazarus. But we are. We are as dead as Lazarus was, to the point that we're stinking spiritually. We can do nothing but weep. Now the temptation is to be overcome with this, like Mary was. To be overcome with this. And Jesus sympathized with Mary's pain, but he wasn't succumbed to it. He didn't collapse to it. He acted. He asked, where is the body? And then he went. And he raised Lazarus, demonstrating the reality of what he said to Martha. He said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. It's not a denial of death. Death is real. Death will happen. Each and every one of us faces that reality at some point in our life. Many of us face it many times. Each one of us. No one gets out of this life alive. We all face death. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is our resurrection and our life. We face this life dead as Lazarus was. We face this life with tears as Mary faced it. We face this life with questions as Martha faced it. With needs, with practical needs as Martha faced it. We face this life not alone. For Martha and Mary were not alone. Lazarus was not alone. We face this life like Lazarus, like Mary, like Martha, dead and crying and yet with needs. We face this life not alone. We face it with Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. This is the most amazing I am passage, the ultimate I am passage in Scripture here, where he says, I am, being God, is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is our resurrection. Jesus is our life eternal. And eternal life is not for sweet by and by, not for over there, not for the next world. Eternal life is for today. Right here and right now. That's what the resurrection of Lazarus teaches us. And that's what we are to hear from Jesus and receive from Jesus. Yes, we can cry. Yes, we have practical needs and frustrations, as Mary had with Jesus for being late. Yes, we are spiritually as dead as Lazarus. Yes, we're in need of hearing the voice of Jesus calling us out of our tombs, for he is our resurrection and our life eternal. As you come to the table of the Lord today, be open to the grace of the one who is the resurrection and the life, the one who is life eternal, Jesus Christ our Lord. Feast on the riches of his grace. Receive him again into yourself anew and know his love for you. In your presence.
Been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2017 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.